Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This song works. We're all getting along.
This is for me and Hugh after last second.
Man, there's never no animosity between me and you. We always have heated conversations. That's what we do.
Whose fault is that?
Kyle's.
You know what? Shut up.
Because he don't listen.
I think it's actually a funny question. Whose fault it is when we get heated at each other? Because I think you could point to all three of us. You could say it's Kyle's fault because he's pushing buttons. You could say it's my fault because it's everyone's yelling about what I said.
I do tend to instigate.
Or it's Hugh's fault because he says things that infuriate us when he's trying to calm everyone down.
No, I speak facts. Y'all just don't be wanting to hit him.
I did sick Marple Mac on Hugh yesterday.
That was some wild
was
radio.
Wait a minute now. Now you're getting cranked up.
Yeah, we're getting cranked up here. All right, 215-592-9494 to get cranked up. Look, bottom line is this. I want the Eagles passing game to take more chances. And I'm not talking about throwing the ball in a triple coverage. I'm not trying to talk about, purposely doing ridiculous things. I just think there are plays to be made. And Jalen Hurts, I think, has become a little gun-shy the last year plus. A little bit. And I understand it came from a point where last year they sat down, they said this is the best way to win, and they haven't turned the ball over really for a year, and it's been great. But at some point, we may have gone a little too far with this, and it feels like we're going too far where there's just no oomph to the passing game. Their average depth of target is 6 yards. You're not challenging the defense. I think it's making it hard on the running game. Jalen, take a few more chances. It's okay, and I trust him that he won't throw a lot of picks if he does take those chances. Hugh's in the camp of, hey, when he broke, don't fix it.
Take what the defense gives you, man. You have to, because I'm going to venture to say that when you look at the game last week and what Spags tried to do, Steve Spagnuolo, that Coach McVay is going to do the same thing.
Sure.
He's going to try to pressure him. And here's the thing. I think Jalen got sacked 2 times last week. Was it twice or once? I know he got. I think it was at least 1 sack.
He hasn't been sacked much in the first 2 games.
No. Nah. So you're going to try to, if he's going to hold on to the ball, then you're going to try to put him in them negative yard situations. Can't have that. If he's going to be risk averse, like we've been talking about, and he's going to eat the ball, then, now you're putting the offense, you're putting it back. You're putting a lot of pressure on him.
Yep.
And you're going to have to throw the football.
Two sacks.
That kind of works in their favor.
2 sacks on Sunday. Yeah, that wasn't a big issue. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down? Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
Yo, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man? Thanks for getting me in, man. What's up?
Terrence, what's up, buddy?
Guys, we have to take more chances. Hugh, you're my dog, man. I love you. But I'm a Joe on this.
Here we go,
man.
With the – y'all wild, man.
Jalen has to stop holding the ball or we're going to lose a lot of games with this plain vanilla offense. Let me cook for a little bit. We have to stretch the field. Jalen did it in the Super Bowl. Am I right, Hugh?
He did.
Mm-hmm. He did it in the Super Bowl. So
last
what
year.
Changed? We had
a
the
year.
Formula in the Super Bowl. So why can't that come into the next year?
Well,
I don't understand that.
It's timing.
Go ahead, Hugh.
It's timing. Terrence, you're married, right?
Nah.
You're not? Oh, I thought you were, my bad. But if you're in a relationship, the point that I'm making is this.
There goes your analogy.
Yeah,
no, I'm about to cook.
I'm
about to cook with this analogy. If you're in a relationship, even though you've been in a relationship for a while, there's still aspects of your relationship that you still have to work on, even though you're a couple. Like there are things that you we talked about a few years ago, the toilet seat. That might be something that becomes an issue once again. You know, you ain't putting the toilet seat down. And you have to, your partner has to remind you to put the toilet seat down. Like, it's a work in process. It's a work in progress.
Okay. I nailed it.
Not a work.
Let me retort a little
bit. I give all these relationship advice, and I ain't even got no girl.
Hullabaloo or hoobaloo.
Who's listening to this guy?
I feel like Steve Harvey. My bad, Taylor's your call, man.
Nah, you good, bro. You good. Nah, that's little Steve Harvey. It's Steve Harvey. He had that book, right?
Yeah, talking about man. Relationship. He been married twice. Yeah. He ain't got it right.
Three times, I think. Three or four times.
He ain't got it right.
Jalen was talking about taking the chains off him last year. Mm-hmm. Let me cook for a little bit here. Well, is it you or is it Petullo? Or is it both? Just right now, after 2 weeks, this offense looks eerily similar to the Brian Johnson offense, who has supposedly been here. Now, Sirianni supposed to be in the room, right? Didn't he tell us last year that every decision that him and Kellen Moore made goes through Petullo? Didn't he tell us that?
Yeah, he's pumped him up for years that he's a big part of the passing game and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so Jalen doesn't look confident. Like, we all know Jalen Hurts is not, but he's going to do this. If he don't look confident, he's not going to throw the ball. If he's not confident in the offense and the scheme, he's not going to throw the ball. Why not give him quick hitters? Why not scheme up guys open for a couple of plays? Why not have some motion in the offense? Because I love Nick. But every season that Nick Sirianni offense was with a veteran coordinator, and every season that he brought somebody in-house, we had not so good seasons. Am I right?
You're right. It has been a theme. And when they bring people from outside, specifically Kellen Moore, obviously that was the best year of all of them. Terrence, we appreciate the phone call. I do think it's part of it. And when I say that the Eagles' pass games take more chances and push the ball a little bit more, it's not just Jalen. Like, he's the trigger man. He's the point guard, right? But last year, remember there was the whole conversation of they sat down together, Jalen and Nick, and they talked that whole bye week, and they reconfigured the offense. They could do it again the other way. I mean, there could be a conversation where Nick says to Jalen, I trust you. If you see it, let it rip. I mean, like, he can encourage him. Now, Jalen's ultimately got to be the guy that does it. He's got the ball in his hands, but I'd be all on board with that if Nick and Petullo said to Jalen, if you see it, let it rip.
I think he has that cachet. I mean, the guy did, you know, he's had a lot of success in the league. I just think that for whatever reason, it just takes him a while to get going because he's probably gotten a little conservative. In his view at the quarterback spot. And you remember last year, he started out, I think it was like 4 or 5 picks early in the season.
Yep.
And then he went the other way.
Yeah, we're like going in the extremes.
Yeah, so it might be one of those things. And, you know, Jalen doesn't verbalize a whole lot. But I do remember a few years, was it last year, the year before that, when Dak talked about he wasn't going to throw more than 8 picks. Mm-hmm. And he lived up to that. He's spoken into existence. Maybe Jalen's doing something like that. He's like, I'm not going to put the ball in harm's way. You know? But, and maybe I'm going to be more, I'm going to delegate.
Yeah, look, I think that we just view few interceptions, like not having many, as a good thing. It's not a great thing if it's hurting your offense in a different way. And what I mean is, if it's all short passes at 5 yards a pop, eventually defense is going to walk up, and then you can't run. Like, I think we're teetering on, are they too conservative now? That's where I've gotten to with the offense. It feels a little bit too scared.
Yeah, this weekend though, it's gonna be one of them.
Well, it better be, otherwise you're in big trouble on Monday. I'm blaming you.
Why am I? How am I gonna be in trouble for dropping knowledge on a daily?
No, because you're going along with what they're doing here.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I feel it.
I don't understand.
I'm here trying to tell everyone and tell the Eagles, let it rip. Let's go.
No,
let the quarterback let it rip. Permission to throw a pick.
I like how you change it. You said, hey. It's okay to throw an interception or two. No, it's not.
Absolutely.
It's not.
Wait.
It's not.
I bet there were plenty of winning quarterbacks last week threw a pick.
I mean, but they didn't want to throw a pick. It's not like they went into it and said, hey, I'm going to throw one.
Well, I didn't say I want to throw a pick, but I get it.
Okay, it's okay because you want to take more chance.
Scare money don't make money, Hugh. That's what I was told.
Slow money is still money.
Yeah. Eventually, it's not enough money. You should know about that. You want more money.
Slow money is better than no money.
Yeah, I need more money than I got right now. 215-592-9494. That is how you join the show here. All right, today in Tush Push Talk, something interesting Jordan Mailata said teams are doing to defend it. And Chris Jones, boy, this guy is having a terrible week, being a total baby again. And an interesting take on how the Eagles should approach this thing. It's all coming up along with your calls. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Every NFL Thursday is your chance hit the jackpot on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. You can do that two ways, going against Hugh Douglas's pick, or you can go with the FanDuel's Thursday touchdown jackpot, and you can win a share of $2 million in bonus bets each week. To get on this Thursday's action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score bet on before the game kicks off. If your player scores the first or last touchdown of the game, you'll win your bet plus a share of bonus bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to take a shot at the jackpot. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO for your chance to win a share of $2 million of bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner in the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They push, they shove, and he's in! Touchdown! They did it again!
Everybody know what's coming! Good job! It don't matter! They live in the same place every does!
The whole world knows what we're doing. It doesn't matter.
They think they have 100 yards!
Who won the game?
Boy, a tough week for Chris Jones. Mic'd up there, along with Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts. So all the tush pushes on Sunday. Hugh, Chris Jones whining, they ran it seven times, is such a bad look. Yeah. I mean, lost respect is strong. He's a great player. But it's embarrassing what he's put out there this week.
Well, it kind of goes to tell you or goes to show you what the conversation is. I mean, this has been one of the biggest talking points mm-hmm. of the early football season.
Well, during the game it was for those guys. You know what it feels like? It felt like Sunday when you watch it live and then hear that, right? It feels to me like they broke the Chiefs' will with the tush push.
Well, they were frustrated.
Yeah.
Because
they got them off, to use your term, they got them off their square. Like, yeah, Chris Jones is screaming.
They're frustrated because they're facing 0-2, 0-3, when you talk about the Super Bowl. And they've never been there before. Mm-hmm. So as the game, this is my opinion, as the game progressed, the reality set in. Because take out those plays. Take out the tush push. You played some really stout defense. And you gave your offense, you put your offense in a position to get the ball back. And you couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the reality of it. It changed the momentum of the game. Now, The pick definitely was the momentum changer. But the fact that you played stout defense, Joe, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. You played defense good enough to put them in a 3rd-and-1 situation, and normally they would punt.
Yeah.
But the Eagles don't punt. They got the tush push. And they were able to sustain the drive and keep your quarterback off the field.
The Chiefs held the Eagles to 216 yards. Typically, if you hold a team to 216, you won.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get why they're frustrated.
Yeah. So it's one of those things. And again, and that's why I say I understand why people are upset, because most people don't understand what they were watching. Mm-hmm. You know, that was old school football. That was some Chuck Bednarik type football that was played Sunday.
It was.
You know, where, you know, not throwing the ball all over the place a whole lot. Guys running around trying to make plays, and it was like a ho-hum game. And the fact that you had, 33 million people watching the game, not understanding what they're watching, because every other game that you watched, the ball was flying all over the place. You know what I mean? You got receivers making circus catches and all this other stuff. And then you have this game that has been billed as a rematch. Just, it was a snore fest.
All right, the other thing that went on Sunday was obviously a lot of talk about the Eagles, you know, potentially jumping off sides or lining up in the neutral zone, you know, lining up above the ball, and the two guards firing off too quickly on the play the referees missed. Jordan Mailata, he said something interesting about the other side of this and what teams are now trying to do to them and kind of bending the rules in their direction. Let's hear Jordan Mailata talking about what teams are doing now against the tush push.
It's pretty rich for them to say that we're false starting, especially right after the game when you're lining up in the neutral zone. And I thought mimicking the cadence is a penalty.
So it's so funny you bring that up. I saw a video today where it sounds like they're yelling.
And they're yelling our cadence out.
The Chiefs were doing it on more than just the tush push.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Is that something they did in the Super Bowl?
Hell yeah.
Is that unique to them or is it something?
Every team.
Well, that's not fair. I mean, like, if people are going to call out that the NFL is letting the Eagles jump off, Hugh, and be, you know, a false starting on the tush push, then they got to call that back. You can't mimic the cadence.
No, you can't. But people are trying to figure out ways to beat it, to beat the tush push. And this is probably one of them. I'm pretty sure that there has been, especially the teams that the Eagles are playing, ways that they're trying to figure out how to stop the tush push. The only team that I've seen so far that has success doing it was the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think that was because of the size of the defensive linemen that they have. I think they were able to do something to stop it. Most teams aren't built to stop the tush push because of the fact that their D-line is not that big. And the way that they root down and get low, it's hard. And then you talk about the fact that Jalen Hurts squats 300 pounds. I mean, he has a lot of power. So it's one of those plays that we run it extremely well. And now since other teams can't run it, they're going to try to ban it.
215-592-9494. One last thing on the tush push, then we'll get back to everyone's phone calls here on the passing game. And should they air it out more and take more shots? Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, he put this out yesterday. Because, you know, Hugh, the people always say it's an unstoppable play. It's not fair, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Kyle Brandt tweeted, next time the Eagles get a comfortable lead, they should intentionally get stopped on the tush push, feign that it's fallible, change the conversation. It's actually kind of clever. If they're up three scores, it's third and one. You go out there and you basically take a dive. You don't get the first down. Then next time someone says it's a 99% play, you've got to take it out of the NFL, that nonsense is out too.
Was he serious when he said that?
I think half serious.
Hmm. Well, hold on, because I know it sounds funny.
It did. Yeah, it does.
But like, Bill Belichick used to say all the time that when they would get big leads in games, they would completely like do a 180 on all their tendencies.
To throw the numbers off.
Show different things on film. Throw the data off. Like when they run this play, they're in this kind of formation, stuff like that. Like that, and this is like a way more simplified scale. But like that's not a crazy concept for teams to do, is put different tendencies, put different tape out there.
I feel that feels like, to me, a little bit giving up. Like, hey, we're going to feign that you blocked it. You got it. No.
But it would take away, like, let's go to next offseason when the NFL is clearly going to try to get this banned again.
Oh, this thing is gone.
Well, it probably is. But one of the talking points could be it can't be stopped. It's unfair, right? It's an unfair play. The Eagles have too much. Well, that you can't use that anymore if they get stopped two or three times. He's probably half kidding. I thought it was interesting.
I hear you. I don't think they're going to do that, though. I mean, because, you know, when you talk about the effort and everything that goes into them developing this play and executing this play, I don't think anybody wants to go out there and feign that somebody beat it just to do it. I don't see that.
Yeah, there's that aspect. You're asking players to go there and do it.
Yeah, that's a pride thing.
I get it.
That goes with that. I mean, I hear you, though. I hear you.
Let's go to Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Dream. How y'all doing today?
Will, what's up?
All right. Man, listen, let me just make a couple points, right? Now, 2022, when we went to the Super Bowl, right, what was the difference between when we went to the Super Bowl and lost and when we won the Super Bowl?
Well, the defense.
The offensive coordinator.
Okay. Well, that's one of them. Yeah, I mean, the defense was playing better, but
because
sure.
This is my point, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you got a good coordinator, you know, calling the offense, Jalen will throw the ball. Both them times when we had great offensive coordinators, A.J. and Smith was over, A.J. was over 1,000 yards. So was Smith the first time. And the second time,
he was AJ was over 1,000 and Smith was like 800. So they both was close to over 1,000 yards, right? So my thing is this, right? And like I said, I see things before a lot of people see it.
You have vision.
Got that third eye. You got vision. That third eye work.
Uh-huh.
Now people are starting to question the coordinator, right? Now my thing is this: Jalen is going to have a great game this Sunday, right? Not because everybody is saying, "Oh, he needs to throw the ball." He's going to throw the ball because he know he has to. Just like in the Super Bowl, when they shut Saquon down, he knew that, okay, now I got to take over. I got to make it happen. I got to throw this ball. And I think his strategy go from team to team, right, as far as when we need to throw the ball and when we need to run the ball. And another point is that season last season was based all about Saquon, right? That's why AJ and them didn't have the numbers that they had. So now this season, yes, we have to throw the ball in order to get where we need to go, right? Mm. But we don't want, like you, and like I said, I agree with both sides. What you saying, Hugh, listen, we don't want no turnovers. We don't want him to force the ball. Because he did force the ball one time to A.J. Brown. He caught it with the one hand, and that could have been picked off. Just because.
Well, he slipped. He did slip on right. that. I thought he was right. open.
All right, and this is the last thing. I think that, you know, as fans, we need to just let these guys, you know, be who they are, you know what I'm saying, and become who they are. And my thing is, when Jalen said that it's not about the stats, it's not about that, it's about winning. And guess what? We're the only team so far that's won without a touchdown being thrown.
Right.
That was a lot. You know what I'm saying? And I understand it says, oh, he's scared to throw the ball. That's what we think. But that's not what it is. He's doing whatever it takes to win, man. That's what he's going to do.
Do you think touchdown passes? But do you think touchdown passes would make it less likely they win the game?
Now, you know what? The touchdown passes are going to come later in the season. Okay. If this offensive coordinator, I know y'all, I'm losing y'all, but if this offensive coordinator called the right plays instead of being a one-dimensional team with this formation, that's killing me. We've been doing the same formation for four years.
But then we got it. What's the common denominator of 4 years?
Jalen Hurts.
And Sirianni, right? Like they're the ones that create all this. This is their team. Blaming Kellen Moore and Petullo and Brian Johnson. These guys just come and go. I'm not saying Petullo is very good. He might not be, but I don't know. If we're talking about 4 years of formations, it probably speaks more to the personnel that's been here the whole time than it does the different coordinators.
So you're talking about the quarterback?
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I mean, if this is the plays they run, don't you think that they think this is the plays he runs best?
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain formula to it. And then when you think about training camp and how they were trying to implement different styles in different ways to get to certain plays.
Yeah.
And then to have it be as stagnant as it is right now. It does make you kind of wonder what's going on. I mean, there's no question about that.
Can I just put a stop to something I keep hearing? Will's thrown in a couple days in a row. I'm what's hearing that? It. A little that they're playing possum. That they could throw for more and they could the passing game could just like be magically better. They don't need to yet.
Magic.
Yeah. They're playing possum.
I gotta love football, man. And the way that we as fans twist ourselves in a pretzel.
Well, the whole conversation is twisted into a pretzel. It's quite obvious to me. They've become too conservative and they need to take a little more shots in the passing game. And I don't understand how we don't see it that way, except, you know, risk averse Douglas over here who just
I don't believe in taking risks. If you don't have to.
Risk management, Hugh?
Yeah, risk management. I don't believe in taking risks if you don't have to.
But when you have two receivers like this, is it really risky?
It doesn't feel like it should be. It doesn't. Put it like this, Joe. It doesn't feel like it should. It shouldn't be as hard as it is. It shouldn't feel that way. I mean, I get that. But to be fair to those guys that are actually playing, there's a lot that I don't know. There's a lot of unquantifiable intangibles in that locker room that I don't know. I don't have all the feedback.
Well, here's the intangibles. Here's the tangibles I could see.
Tangibles.
The running game has looked harder the first 2 weeks, and I think it primarily is
tough
because
sledding.
they're not moving the ball down the field.
I kind of knew that was going to be the case, though. Running game was going to be tough sledding.
But wait, I was told Jalen was going to pick up where he left off in the passing game and continuity Petullo.
I'm the one that told you that.
And?
I know what I said.
Yeah, and?
I got 15 more games to go. Give me time.
No. But
let him cook.
Pick up. That's what I'm saying. Let him cook. I'm trying to let Jalen cook.
He got
to
cook this weekend.
Yeah, and you guys are scared to let him throw the football.
Let him cook.
The amount of people that are afraid of letting Jalen Hurts throw the ball, is you're all telling on yourselves.
Everyone, the amount of people who say they're afraid to let him throw?
Have you heard the callers today?
Well, they're like, don't put the ball.
Well, you know what? Especially if you drill into these people's heads that Mahomes throwing that ball to Kelce is risky.
Well, that was.
Nobody's ever going to want us to take chances downfield if that's
that
risky.
That was a risky throw. Mm-hmm. It was a risky throw. Anytime you throw down there is always a risky throw. I stand on that.
Quarterbacks shouldn't even suit up anymore. Let's go back to the way
I like
it was on
how every time I try to say something, y'all like to simplify it. It's okay.
No, I agree. There are risky throws into double coverage, into the teeth of the defense in the end zone. That throw to Kelce over the middle with him having a step on blanket chip is not risky.
So childish.
The only risk is throwing to a podcaster. That was the risk he took. The guy's a podcaster
now. So disrespectful. You're so disrespectful.
Over the last year, what has Travis Kelce been better at? His podcast or the game? And you know the answer.
I mean, I had an answer, but I don't think I could say it on the air.
Okay, well, you better watch yourself.
I don't think because he's been winning. He won. He got engaged, too.
While we're annoyed, let's welcome back Cowboy Jim. Cowboy Jim, what's up? I thought you were done with us.
Well, I had come to my senses. You know, that Eagle charter the other day kind of brought me back. So,
for real?
Yeah, that did. Listen, are we surprised today about Hugh Douglas? He doesn't like ABBA. You don't like ABBA?
I don't recall too much about ABBA. That's all. I mean, I don't have a problem with ABBA.
On your ride home today, I want you to play the best of ABBA.
Well, they got the Dancing Queen, right? They got Dancing Queen? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I think you should, yeah. And listen, since we're 100% sure that the Eagles won't have big leads and the Eagles don't win games, they lose it, and Jalen will probably struggle to reach 2,000 yards passing this year. When will the Tanner McKee talk start? When will you start that? You know, Charger Aaron's favorite quarterback. When will that start?
I'm not going to start it. I mean, Hugh's the one that thinks he's the future, so I can't control what Douglas is going to say over here.
You know he could probably throw 300-400 yards.
You already said he was the future.
I said he was the future. I didn't say where he was the future at. I did say
yeah, but you're the Tanner McKee guy in this show.
Yeah, I mean, I did say it was the future.
Yeah.
And isn't it funny how 99% of Eagle fans always support the tush push when everybody else in the world is like, no, it's fraudulent. You cheat. You know, it's not a football play. Oh, did I say you cheat too? I forgot to say that too. And what else can we ban? I have something else we need to ban, too.
Jim, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Your defense allowed 450 yards to Russell Wilson on Sunday.
No,
450.
It was one cornerback. One cornerback who should not be in the NFL.
That's a tough. I know they won, but that's a tough way to wake up on Monday. 450 to Russell Wilson.
Yeah, well, he's the number one quarterback
in the league right now.
Well, he's not.
The worst cornerback in the league, the Cowboys had. This guy couldn't cover anything in the world. Couldn't cover a bet for crying out loud. And there's something else we need to ban too. West Coast teams coming to the East Coast to play a 1 o'clock game. How this is ridiculous!
I mean, what do you care for?
It always goes to the East Coast team.
What do you care for?
I mean, the Rams are coming in at 1 o'clock game. It's a 10 o'clock for
them.
They'll
be fine. Who cares? I'm supposed to sit here and feel bad because
what does it have to do with him or the Cowboys?
It has nothing. He's feeling empathy for the Rams. Like, coming in, like, who cares?
Yeah, this guy.
And that was almost
at least he's back.
And he said he was done with this. That was almost as annoying as Hugh saying that Mahomes throw to Kelce was.
It was a risky throw.
It was not.
It was a risky throw. I stand on that. Oh, y'all laughing. It's a risky throw.
It's one of the most ridiculous things you've ever
seen. Let's go to Joe on the cell. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. I'm in Hugh Douglas's camp today. Big time.
Then you're wrong.
Bad spot to be.
Big time. I mean, that was a risky throw, and you saw what happened.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'll tell you what.
This can't be real.
It's a risky
throw. I love when you talk underneath people, by the way. It's great for radio when you talk over it. But out of the last 19 games, the Eagles are 18-1. You can't argue with that. Out of the last 10 games, Hurts has thrown one interception. One. And now you want him to throw. And we are playing possum. We're not going to show you anything for the playoffs.
All right, hold on. This has to be a routine. This has to be a bit.
It's a bit.
So, let's workshop this for a second. They're playing possum, and let's say Kelce does catch the ball. What are we doing then? We're down in the game. Well, playing possum.
Saying playing possum is making it easy. We're not going to show you everything. We're not. You're going to see something. This
How about showing something?
Anything.
Life.
18-1. That's all you got to say. Why try and fix what's not broke? It's not broke.
Because, Joe, the NFL doesn't work that way. The NFL doesn't work that way. Like
It does
not work that way. Okay, Joe, let's go.
It does when you're 18-1.
Okay, let's go back to last year. Let's go back to 2 years ago. The Eagles had played in the Super Bowl the year prior, and then they got off to a 10-1 start. They probably were around 18-2 in about a 20-game span at the end of November. And all year long, I said, the defense stinks. We got a real problem here. Joe, shut up. Joe, we're winning games. And then they got smacked because the defense was a problem. Joe, the passing game's a problem right now. You can put your head in the sand, and you could say it's not. If you think they can keep winning with 100 yards passing, you're lost.
Listen, Moses was in a basket till somebody took him out of the river. Have a good day.
Damn. He dropped a Moses analogy on you.
We're still doing Moses analogies?
Oh, my goodness. He said Moses was in a basket until somebody went and got him.
I actually am like pretty one. I'm 100% positive every single bit of that call was intentionally to piss me off. He did the it ain't broke, don't fix it. They're winning. Like every single trope.
I just can't believe we dropped a Moses.
He dropped Moses.
Honest to goodness, when was the last time someone just dropped Moses in regular conversations?
On Sports Talk Radio. I mean,
we need to stop dropping more Bible analogies into this thing. Jesus turned wine into water.
When was the last time you watched the Ten Commandments?
Water into wine.
Did you get that backwards? The upper
room. Hey, I got one for you.
All right, Pastor Douglas, what do you got?
You know Jesus was a carpenter.
The great reverend.
He said Moses was in the basket, Joe. Somebody came and got him.
When are the Eagles going to take Moses out of the basket? Let it rip.
Hey, we got to work that in. Take Moses out the basket.
There's just nothing quite like a little Old Testament talk on a Thursday.
Doesn't that feel like more of an analogy putting the ball down the field? Take Moses out of the basket.
I need to work Moses into the basket in this Sunday show. Let me see. I can work that. I'm going to workshop that.
Yeah, maybe some takes on Abraham and all of them. We'll work them all in. 215-592-9494. A Twitter question is sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing that others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. Maybe a poll question on your favorite Old Testament character. We'll get to that coming up. Here's the poll for today. So at the WIP Midday Show on Twitter, we had here's the poll we started with the show. Do you wish Jalen Hurts would take more chances in the passing game? See, at least it's rare. It's rare that people are on the right side, and they are today. 69% saying yes, they wish Jalen Hurts would take more chances in the passing game. 31% are with delusional Douglas, whose head is so far in the sand.
I'm taking Moses out the basket, though. I'm going to take him out the basket.
Take Moses out the basket. All right, coming up. The Eagles, more chances, should they? Your take on it. And something the Eagles are rolling out on Sunday, and we're trying to figure out a theory as to why, because there's something going on Sunday at the link that we haven't seen, I think, in about a decade. That's coming up. It is the Midday Show, as always, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's never too early for this song. You feeling in the spirit?
You know how I feel about Christmas. Christmas is a money grab.
Why do you got to be a Grinch in September?
No, I'm saying it is.
Well, I happen to like Christmas.
I mean, it's all right.
I also like snow. Last time the Rams were in town, what was it, Hugh?
It was snowing.
Yeah. Could that be the reason we're going to see what we're seeing on Sunday? Did you see the uniforms they're going to wear on Sunday? The Eagles are wearing whites on Sunday.
They're white,
wearing their road uniforms. They're white on Sunday. From what I read, it's the first time we've had this in a home game since 2015. Now, in the meeting before the show, we were kind of trying to think if that's actually true or not. Maybe there's one or two that have been missed. But 2015, it was week two against the Cowboys. It was Chip Kelly, and they got rocked by a bad Cowboy team. Whatever, that's the last time I can remember. But it's been a long time since we had the white at home. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to come up with some theories, like why are we doing this? Could this be to remind the Rams of the snow game?
So a psychological edge?
Yeah, a little white out. Like last time you were here, white, snow, here it is again.
Mm. All right, that's a reach.
Okay.
That's a little bit of a reach.
Why are we wearing white jerseys then?
I mean, if they're doing that, that's a little bit of a reach. That's my point.
Oh, you're saying
if that's the case, it's a reach. Hey, they're going to come in here salty.
Sure they are.
I think the Rams are going to come in here salty. I think Jared Verse is going to look at how Jordan Mailata, little boy, a couple times. And he's, well.
First time
you take that
boy.
Back. The second time they went at it. It was like Clash of the Titans.
That was a good one.
So that's going to be a good matchup. That's going to be the matchup that I'm going to watch. So they're going to come in here loaded. They're going to come in here trying to set the tone early. And they're going to try to put hands on the quarterback. Not no healing hands either.
No.
Try to hit him all upside the head. They're going to try to. If Jalen wants to hold the ball, he's going to get punished this weekend.
Healing hands, that brings us more towards some biblical names we could yeah, throw out there.
Yeah.
As we heard about Moses last segment. Ken and Cinnamon is up. Hey, Ken.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, Ken.
What's going on, man?
You don't worry. I got your back. So, first of all, before I get into the whole conversation, if Mahomes goes back and watches tape of that throw, Andy Reid's going to tell him to take the sack. Because the reason that ball was intercepted was because Jalen Carter won right away, and Mahomes had to throw the ball before Kelce had an opportunity to get his head around on it, and that's why he wasn't ready to catch the ball and bounce it off his hands. So in that condensed space, Hugh is right. You're better off taking the sack than you are throwing that interception, and it also proves what I've been trying to tell you guys for years, that it's pressure, not sacks, that actually change the outcome of games. So,
but conceptually, throwing the ball to your tight end who has a step on his guy is not a risky throw. It was blown up by the talent of the Eagles line. But
if my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a wagon. But it's got to be within the context of what actually happened, not just conceptually. Is it risky to throw the ball to Travis Kelce at the goal line? Well, of course not.
Well, he's open. It's not like he had the step on Blankenship.
Oh, well, but he wasn't ready to receive the ball because the ball had to come out too early because of the pressure. So, but look, Joe, I think you're being intellectually dishonest here.
That's a big old word.
2 weeks into the season, saying that people who are saying we don't need to air the ball out just to air the ball out are saying we don't want to see big plays, or we don't want to see explosive plays. That's not what we're saying at all. What we're saying is we want to see the quarterback be efficient. And during the bye week last year, which let's face it, the Eagles have not lost a game that Jalen Hurts has started and finished since week five of last year. It is it's an unprecedented string of success in a league that is defined by its parity right now. And they figured out, and this is where I think they are, they figured out that they honestly believe if the quarterback doesn't turn the football over, they never lose. And statistically, they're right. When the quarterback doesn't turn the football over right now, they never lose. So, you know, we've killed Jalen Hurts in the past because he's held the ball too long. And I'm not going to say that there aren't times where Jalen holds the ball too long. But on Sunday, he got the ball out 2.1 seconds, which was the fastest of any quarterback in the league on Sunday. And so now we're being critical of not taking shots down the field against Kansas City because he's getting the ball out right away because they're blitzing him on almost every dropback. And so everything's a blitz beater. So if what they get, I mean, if your philosophy is we're going to take what the defense gives us and we're not going to turn the football over, then, you know, they threw the ball 22 times in the Super Bowl last year. I know it feels like they aired it out, but they threw the ball 22 times in the Super Bowl last year. They threw the ball 22 times on Sunday. It's just a different kind of throw based upon the looks that they're getting and what they're seeing. So if you're going to have guys, and this is what we saw last year, like, you know, the eye-opening moment for Saquon Barkley last year, if you remember, was that 65-yard touchdown run against New Orleans when nothing was going.
Mm-hmm.
The offense was just dragging. And all of us, I know I did, was like, whoa, I didn't realize he was still that bad.
Mm-hmm.
He just outran everybody. And from there, it was game on. We're going to get these outside zones to Saquon Barkley, and he's going to outrun the defense. They've had a bunch of those runs this year so far in the first two games of the season that have just missed, because these five guys up front, who are the key to every football game ever, are the five guys up front. They have played a grand total of 8 football games together.
So I agree with conceptually what you're saying, but so far this season, like, we can keep saying this is the way they're doing it, but the league adjusts. The league will not let the Eagles do this for as long as we just want to. So already the adjustments are happening. The highest percentage in Saquon's career he's faced heavy boxes with 8 or more in the box is 75%. That was with the Giants. Through 2 games, it's 85%. So this idea, but no, wait. So there is a way to counter that, and that is to make them pay by throwing the football. If they have 8 in the box and we just keep doing what we're doing, this isn't going to work for much longer. Do you agree with that?
Well, Joe, Saquon had like 450 yards against the Rams in 2 games last year, right?
Yes.
So you go back and watch the tape. They had 8 guys in the box almost every time, and on all. I mean, he had like 4 touchdown runs against the Rams that were greater than 60 yards. They had 8 guys in the box on all 4 of those long touchdown runs. Because when you hit those and everything's going right, it's Saquon on a safety, and that's how.
And when you don't hit them, you struggle to get to 20 points. Like,
that's where the 5 guys still meshing together up front. Landon Dickerson missed almost all of camp. Tyler Steen was not the starting right guard last year on this offensive line. That's where these guys are. And I'm telling you go back and you watch the tape on some of these outside, even some of the outside zone runs that they had Sunday that wound up with 8 yards, 9 yards, whatever. They are just missing those. When Jordan Mailata says they're one block away from those being house calls, he's right. They are just missing those. So it's not that we don't want to see the Eagles take shots down the field, but what's ultimately going to happen, and this is what the Eagles are working to accomplish, is as they start to hit those longer runs because the offensive line really starts to mesh together again like they did last year, now it's going to force the defense to do some things in coverage and walking guys down that they don't want to do, and then you're going to get the plays over.
So what I hear, and Ken, good phone call, what I hear is you and I just want to approach it the opposite way. We want the same thing. We all want them to make bigger plays. It's the way Ken is approaching it is eventually the run game will pop. It'll open things up for Jalen, and we go from there. I'm trying to do the opposite, where I'm trying to create more space for Saquon by throwing the ball in a little bit more tight windows. Give your guys a chance to make a play. It just feels to me like they've become too conservative throwing the football. But that's all. It just feels that way. And I don't think until they change it is the reality of the offense going to change. Like, if they keep throwing the ball short and not pushing the defense, how are they going to make explosive plays?
Yeah, I think that changes this week. I'm optimistic that's going to change this week. I think that the last 2 games that we played in, it really wasn't a necessity because of the teams we were playing. And, well, the first team we were playing wasn't a necessity. The second game, you know, it was more you just didn't want to put the ball in harm's way because there was really no need to. And that's how I feel about it. But I feel strongly about, and I'm not the only one, that this game is going to be a game where you're going to have – it's probably going to – go up and down the field, you're going to need to score a lot of points.
Well, yeah, it probably will. And the Rams have created a lot of explosives so far the first couple weeks of the season. 215-592-9490. If we'll get to everyone's phone calls, we'll quickly give you the injury report coming up. Good news for the Eagles. Also a rare coaching injury we have to get to. We'll see how that impacts things on Sunday. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.